Get in on all the sports action and your chance to win up to 100 times your cash with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalogue. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. I'm currently listening to The Secret Hours by Mick Herron. That's the standalone prequel to the majestic Slow Horses television series. I can't stop listening. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500. That's audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500. You're listening to the Men in Blazers Media Network, Suboptimal Radio.
What's the one thing you'd like to see most different in the game against Saudi Arabia?
I think it's more personality in the match. For some reason, I didn't see a lot of personality with our performance tonight.
Thanks so much, Greg. Appreciate it. Guys,
Translate that football speak for us. What is personality in a football team? What was lacking?
I love the word personality.
From the Men in Blazers studios in the crap part of Bedford, New York, Roger in the crap part of West Hollywood, California, it's the Men in Blazers Instant Reaction Podcast.
We back! Like Matt Turner's beautiful chest hair wig in post-game interviews, Dave.
I would.
You would though, wouldn't you? And by would, we mean start him as our number one in the World Cup.
Oh yeah.
Great game, really, from a Japanese perspective.
Our mate James Fry texted me about, I don't know, after the first half and said, Japan are quite good. It's like, yeah, go figure. Nearly everybody's pretty good.
Look, we've got to say up this top before we do dive into the game, which we are about to. Can we all just agree to stay chill?
Yeah.
The first rule of friendlies. This was our first rule ever on Men in Blazers from the very beginning. What is the first rule of friendlies? Remind us, Dave.
You do not read too much into international friendlies.
I am not sure if I still believe in that first rule of friendlies. When Japan are gegenpressing and the US are Gregan pressing back, Dave. Or as GFOP at SGregors42 called it, Gregan depressing. Sometimes it just makes me question so many foundational beliefs, but let's dive in.
Yeah, we're big personality guys, Roger. Okay, we're diving right into this one because immediately following the pod, you and your fantastic personality are off to write a newsletter. Oh. Subscribe at meninblazers.com. GFOP's Japan 2, the United States men's national team 0. Not the result we wanted, but the result the USA sadly deserved here, Rog. Goals on either side of halftime sunk this US squad in the first of two final tune-ups. It's partly a friendly, partly a tune-up. Do you read too much into tune-ups? The US did not muster a single shot on goal in this one. Many more questions than answers overall here, though, Rog.
I find it almost impossible to beam myself back to young, naive, optimistic Rog. 90 minutes ago, Dave, I was so bloody excited.
I thought we were about to get another childhood story.
Mate, I'm saving them for volume 2 of my memoirs. No, I mean, that's what it feels like. It feels like another Rog 90 minutes ago that was just so excited to watch our Avenger assemble baby eagles take flight once again. We're nearly there. The promised land. The 2022 World Cup is so close. I can almost taste it and get, sand in my mouth as I do so. 59 sleeps away and into the final two tune-ups. The first against Japan. A team who, fascinating matchup, really. They almost have mirrored our own progression in football as a powerhouse geopolitical nation seeking to develop a footballing might that befits our global standing. Both of us as nations, from a footballing perspective, dream. Both of us have domestic leagues that are less than 3 decades old. Both yearn of nothing more than a deep World Cup run. And the big news, looking at the team sheet, And the big news, looking at the team sheet, we're already missing Tim Weah, Yunus Musa, Chris Richards, Anthony Robinson and Zach Steffen out of injury. And we learned before kickoff, Dave, we'd have to take the field without our Lord and Saviour, Cristiano Pulisic, out of a reported knock that he picked up in training. And God, I felt for the kid.
Yeah, I'm so glad it was a knock, though, Rog, and not an awareness. Because yep. I worry about Christian's awarenesses. They're very different than his knocks.
Yeah. And as a doctor, I mean, you're not a doctor, but you have a deep medical appreciation. You appreciate the difference between, you know, it's not a fringe difference, the difference between a knock and an awareness, is it?
No, it's a major, major difference. It was a knock. It's good to hear. I was so worried when I heard he was out. I thought, oh no, not another awareness. An awareness. He could miss the entire World Cup with an awareness. But an awareness feels like you can come back from that.
I mean, I am laughing, but it's not a laughing matter because an awareness is 6 to 8 weeks at least, I think.
Yeah, a knock. Maybe surgery.
A knock is... Doctor, my awareness is hurting me. Oh, God, where's your awareness? Then we may have to take it out.
Yeah.
You know, I did feel for him because this kid, so much turmoil, so much agony at Chelsea. And for him, the US team has always been a refuge, the one place, but like... You know, the bar at Cheers, where everyone knows your name, where when he walks in, they all say, Cristiano, where he's needed and loved. And so now to be unfit to take the field, please, God, let that quote knock in training be light. Let him see action on Tuesday. But man, sometimes in life when you need a break, you can't catch a break. Mm-hmm. But still, lots it felt like to be positive about. Gio Reyna back. 19 years old, back from the despondency of savage repeat injuries. Oh, mate. Matt Turner, a massive moment for him. Same for Sam Vines, our other friend, Luca Della Torre, the best Dulla since Seoul, and ESPN. Big clap to them for having the bright idea of placing all the field mics in front of maybe the 3 or 4 Hardy band of American fans were there. So the whole game, it sounded like there were maybe 50, 70,000 of them on the hot mic. But it didn't work. Japan, we should also say not at full strength, but from the off, one thing clear. They were technically proficient. And Davo, my head was in my hands within seconds of the kickoff. They were also outshirting us.
Yeah, I know. Nice shirt. Nice shirt.
I mean, nice shirt. Japan, Adidas. Big, big congratulations. Just unleashing an origami design. The Japanese love their origami. One of their players said, they are intimidating and make me feel we can win matches. I mean, outshirted, we were there in our much derided. This is actually our first look at our much derided jerseys. What did you make of them?
I know a lot of people find them sort of ugly and offensive. I honestly just find them bland. They're like a department store. You know, we've talked about this before on the pod, that when we were kids, you could buy real athletic wear made by Adidas or Nike or like proper companies. Actually, probably not Nike. They weren't around when we were kids. But you could buy real store, Adidas or Umbro or Admiral used to make stuff when we were kids.
Or medieval suits of armor manufacturers.
Or you could go to Marks and Spencer's or C&A or other British home stores, other department stores.
The equivalent of English H&M back in the day.
Yes. Was it? I don't know, Primark or something? It was
the word English doing a lot of heavy lifting there.
Yeah, so you could... and this stuff was... It was like imitation. It was imitation. I would always groan when I would show up to tennis tournaments wearing a C&A tracksuit and I would see everybody in their Fila and their Lessie and their Tikini and like just had a C&A tracksuit. And they feel a little bit sort of bland and generic for me.
Are you saying that if they'd shown you to you and you were Greg, you would have just said, I think they need a bit more personality?
Yeah, more personality. You're not a personality. I'm a big personality guy. Greg is a big personality guy. The shirt is not a big personality shirt. That may be the problem.
They look like the guys are running around trying to play international football in an elite tournament whilst wearing a bib that was put on them by a waiter at a fine lobster restaurant, which I actually love. You know, like a rib bib. We're so good. We can beat you, Wales and England and Iran, even wearing rib bibs. However, I do think this about shirts. Shirts are nationally, remembered nostalgically, retrospectively by how our players executing them. And if, and it's a bigger and bigger if, we deliver a World Cup to remember, everyone going to be rocking those rib big kits in the street with joy and wonder. Well, back to the game. Japan, number one, were, well, non-CONCACAF opponents, and they were very Japanese. They were technical, they were swift, they were deft on the ball. They had a real high swarming game plan. And from the off, Aaron Long and Walker Zimmerman, this was, I think, their 10th game together as a centre-back pairing. Still, to me, when you see what is available in the US pool, as surprising a combination as, say, Mourinho in a Stormzy video. But centre-back is not a place where you mix and match. Or put it another way, you mix and match at centre-back going into a World Cup at your peril. It's a place on the team that is like the nerve centre. It needs reps. It needs chemistry. We wanted confidence. We wanted solidity. Instead, we had Aaron Long, the player who back in June, Greg Berhalter had said that it was insane that US fans were criticising Aaron Long. This week he said he's got tremendous speed. He's working his way back to this level, which is a different level. Honestly, I watch him. I admire him for the way he's fought back from injury, but his decision-making under pressure seems so tending towards the frazzled, the erratic. And here he announced himself within a minute, coughing up the ball needlessly in transition, setting Japan in off a counter. And the US tried. They did try. They had some initial joy, flickering joy down the right. Aronson and Dest both charged down. And on 8 minutes, Davo, Dest found the byline, clipped that ball exquisitely. It floated, span, turned and turned towards an utterly open Ferreira. And okay, let's stop for a minute. Let's get to it. The US number nine is currently a howling agony of national trauma. And I think I'm actually playing it down a little bit when I say that. Some of it self-inflicted. Greg, leaving out the one United States striker who is performing transcendently in one of the best leagues in the world, PFOC. We talked a lot about him and our feelings on that in the last pod Monday together. But in the 8th minute, David, this really was, for Greg, the worst possible scenario for his number nine ham-handed selection. The gent, Ferreira, who he claims, quote, checks all the boxes. That ball spanter, Ferreira, completely unmarked. We've gone all in on Ferreira. Brave, valiant scorer of 4 goals against Grenada. Take that! What happened?
He shot it, he put it over the bar, Rog. He did not have the personality to finish that chance. Maybe it floated too much. Maybe it was a personality. Maybe it was a little
too
bit
open.
Behind him.
It was too open.
It may be too open. But I dare say that Sir Harold of Kane would have put that in the back of the net.
Sir Solomon of Rondon probably would have put that. I mean, this is fascinating. This is the striker that we've talked about. That, you know, Greg has a system. And this striker, Jesus Ferreira, fits the system. He's mobile. He can play all over the field. He can combine with the other midfielders. But he's also just 5'8". And I still don't know exactly what happened. But as that ball floated down, he jumped up and just, I don't know, tactically you say he completely bullsed up the header and sent a certain goal impotently over the bar. It was a terrible miss. It was a haunting miss. The kind of miss that makes you fear that a kid, yes, tearing up the MLS, has never proved himself against any kind of top-tier opponents. But it was a miss, funnily enough, in a moment that was utterly played down. I actually think Taylor Twellman did Jesus Ferreira a solid. I think a British commentator would have eviscerated the striker in that moment for what it was, a dreadful, dreadful miss, right?
Yeah, I think John Champion was a little harsher, especially post-game. But that's a sort of chance at international level. If that is a World Cup, if that is an actual World Cup game, if that's against Wales, if that's against England, if that's against Iran, I think he's going to get killed for missing that one.
Score one for PFOC if you're counting along at home. And also score one for Matt Turner too, because he was quickly down sharply to parry. Matt Turner 1, Zach Steffen 0. And for me, one of the single most confusing parts of this game was Why was no one stepping up? Why was no one other than Matt Turner seizing their moment? Why was no one with their play demanding to be on that plane to the World Cup? First half, you had Vines frozen. You had Long, Dyer, Luca Della Torre, again, not in his favourite position, but unable to weave any kind of influence. Weston was anonymous for long spells. And it almost seemed like the US players had decided the best way to play their way into the team for the World Cup was by not playing at all, David.
Yeah, I mean, look, can I give you my analysis, Rog? It's not very long, but it's this sort of my analysis is that, and, you know, listening to the post-match comments of Matt Turner particularly, who talked about that they've been working on a lot of new things. They've been working on a lot of things in training. And the guys got their heads down when the things they'd been working on stopped working out and weren't working out. And Greg came out and he was like, personality. I didn't see enough personality. You know, he likes to see the personality of his players. I assume he means character or fight or that kind of like, you know, bounce back ability, these qualities.
We don't know. Maybe he means that Weston just stops on the ball and starts to pull a large string of handkerchiefs out of his mouth. Or produces walks up to Tyler and just pulls a little bird out from behind his ear that he didn't know.
Interesting sneakers, guys. More interesting sneakers. I want you in there. I want you in vintage cleats.
I think it's interesting what you're saying about that they tried new things and those things didn't work because it was just a lot of disjointed play, a lot of rust. Gio just coming back. De La Torre not had many minutes at all in La Liga. And Japan had so much of the initiative, so many of the ideas, so much of the cohesive play. And the US
absolutely
just gave the ball away over and over and over. And in the 24th minute, Weston rolled the ball lazily in midfield. Japan pounced, worked the ball to Daichi Kamada, who was alone in acres of space, and he just rolled it home. It looked onside to me with the eye. It was chalked off immediately for offside. Yeah. Taylor said, oh, wow, it's great that there's no VAR. This is an amazing moment.
VAR's watching this podcast, Rog. Never expect the intervention of VAR. Our robot overlords just...
Taylor just said, oh, thank God there's no VAR. Only for VAR to surprise us all by kicking
Taylor,
in.
I am VAR.
I am everywhere. The only thing more conkikiffy than no VAR is surprise secret VAR, and it was truly glorious. At Rob Roden tweeted, Greg got a counter by demanding a special master, and it was given. By the way, huge credit to Japanese fans. I think they've worked out how to deal with that awful VAR moment where VAR has to step in, a goal's been ruled off. They just kept celebrating it all the way through, and I thought that is a glorious way, not just to approach football or VAR, approach life like that. Sod it. Don't let anyone take away your joy. It was painful. Honestly, to give the goal away, the giveaway, sloppy by Weston. Dest caught way, way uptown, just panic all across the back line. And it was excruciating overall. Japan just had a simple press in that game. The US were utterly confused by it, couldn't play through it. Nothing for them through the middle. We couldn't somehow make adjustments. And we as fans just had to keep watching our team cough up possession over and over and over again. It was frustrating and disheartening in equal measure. ESPN put up a stat, David. I need you to explain this to me. At halftime, I was utterly numb. They put up a stat at halftime where they said, and Paul Carr, I actually reached out to him to verify this. They said the US has turned the ball over in their own half 54 times.
So here's the second half.
How'd you
of my
do
analysis,
that? How'd you do
Rog?
That? That means you give it
it's
one. That's like 1.4 times a minute. You are just here, Japan. Yeah. Here, Japan.
Here, there are teams who make less passes in a half than that.
You always have to be impressed by
so
a team.
Many passes.
I was always, I know, for a moment, work. I was like, wow, actually, when you think about it, it's kind of an amazing feat, lads. I mean, go on. What's your thinking?
I mean, look, Japan are they've played this same way ever since I've been watching them, since the sort of lead up to the 2002 World Cup. So 20 plus years, they've basically played exactly the same system, Rog. I think you referred to it earlier. They team all over the ball. They're very, They play great technical football. They have great speed. But I got to tell you, every single play that happened in this game for Japan, every single goal that they scored, every single shot they attempted, I've seen that same shot attempted, that same move, that same goal scored by Japan again and again and again. The one thing that I think you have to like sometimes think about when you play Japan, and maybe Japan play very unlike Iran or play very unlike Wales are very unlike England, in which case if they play nothing like any of their World Cup opponents, I don't know why we're going up against them in a World Cup warm-up. But this high line, increasingly, Greg is committing harder and harder to this high line, to this pressing system. But if you have players who turn the ball over a lot, as producer J-Dub said to me before the game, if you are constantly in your defensive third, playing a high line is and having players who are there because they can play that high line, it's not necessarily the smartest way to approach playing this kind of a team.
God, I just, why do we have
And
this?
Also with no veterans to adjust on the field, Roger. I mean, we've said this for so long, no veterans.
To? Who are we trying to prove ourselves to? This is high-risk football, coughing the ball up 54 times enough. I'm trying not to go overboard. I was also incredibly grateful that Jurgen Klinsmann was still not our manager, because with that kind of performance, if he'd been this close to a World Cup, we would have been losing our minds. International football, at its heart, where there is so much more space all over the field inherently because the systems are just not as tight as at club football, is all about not making unnecessary mistakes. It's about playing risk-free football, because the mistakes are what are punished. And that is all we made in that first 45 minutes. Taylor talked at halftime about how Japan were technically a level above. Honestly, the thing that was haunting and searing for me, they physically dominated us too. That perhaps made me most depressed of all. And then we had to think, what could be different in this second half, because we needed adjustments. We needed to show we could recognise with our footballing IQ what was happening and make those changes. At Jake Pechtel, a GFOP tweeted, USA just going to come out with the same 11, but different sneakers. And Greg actually, he did make changes. Sargent in for Ferreira. I think a difficult decision to make for Ferreira going forward. Reggie Cannon in for Dess. Mark McKenzie replaced Aaron Long. And Jordan Morris, our mate, came on for Gio Reyna. And it did make a difference. Vines was given the sign to push forward. The insecurity field that had beamed around Long for 45 minutes, which really does. It really is. It sucks the play back. It sucks the players in front of him back. It creates insecurity amongst all the players. It's like when John Terry was really old and still playing for England, you could see him just sucking the whole team backwards with panic. And the US did begin to pass with more fluency, more coherence. Japan's threat stepped down as they rung in the changes too, but they still flickered on the break. And I do want to acknowledge probably the brightest, possibly the only bright spark, just a slew of fine Matt Turner saves. Honestly, Bergen County Buffon, he delivered the man of the match performance, and I am so happy for that human being. His passing, yes, still a work in progress, but Hurt Gomez pointed out on our AMP on Wednesday that there's no better shot stopper in the US pool. Turner proved that here, and then some. This honestly could have been so much worse than a 2-0 loss. And other than him, Dave, is it true to say no one really made a claim? No one, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting to see how Japan played against Brendan Aaronson. Definitely targeted, swarmed all over, physically challenged at every point. You know, it's very hard to do that in the Premier League against Aaronson when he's playing for Leeds, because there are, you know, frankly, 11 players who you would want to target. If you target Aaronson, you're going to open up somewhere else. That left space for a few other players who couldn't really do anything about it. And I think the giveaways, as you already mentioned, that was really the big thing. So tough for Brendan, but Brendan's going to now get used to that. He's an intelligent player. He's going to get smarter in World Cup football. It really, to me, the most notable thing, Rog, looking down that lineup and looking out at that field, was the lack of veteran leadership able to adjust in game. The lack of a system that we've seen, you know, developed year after year after year, and just very little adjustment from playing style. New players, yeah, but very little adjustment.
Japan finally scored a second in garbage time. Kuro Mitoma breaking through, smacking the ball home.
Great goal.
But by then, we were honestly already dead inside. To borrow a phrase from Jorge Valdano, which he used to describe Jose Mourinho's football at Real Madrid, we watched 90 minutes of on a stick. Zero shots on goal. One goal on the road, total all year. I've just been told that the World Cup is actually played on the road. And sadly,
oh, it is.
Sadly not in Minneapolis in February, which it would be if we were hosting it. You know, Greg, brave face in the post-game comments, called it a competitive match, which is what he does when we get beat by Canada, for instance, or Japan in this case. It was not a competitive match. It was bloody frustrating. It really was. Greg arrived, announced he was going to change the way the world views US soccer. I took it for granted when he said that he meant for the better. And I don't want to overreact to a bad friendly performance. But I do keep thinking about something Hurt Gomez said when we amped on Wednesday about how this is a very raw squad, an incredibly raw squad. And the greenest of all in this moment is the manager, is Greg Berhalter at this level. And his post-game comments that we've repeated a couple of times here, that the US team need more, quote, personality. What does that mean, Dave? And does it inspire confidence?
I think the message he's sending to his players, and I guess to the media, is everything we're doing is right. The system we're playing is right. The people we're selecting are right. And there's nothing technical going wrong. It's just they need to show more fight. They need to show more heart. They need to look within themselves and show more personality. Maybe it's a message to some players that, like, it's going to be your character, which is what has you end up making the final roster or the starting 11. But it sort of is, it's putting it on the players and not taking it on the coaching or the system or, the selection, really. That's what I heard.
I love your definition. I do, and I'm going to cling to that. I actually thought it meant, like, the most logical, knowing how Greg thinks, was that he was going to turn around and give surprise call-ups to Kevin Hart, Jim Gaffigan and Bill Burt to play as a midfield three.
Yeah.
He wants some more comedy. He wants some more comedy in that midfield. He wants more gags. He wants more improv. He wants more improv comedians. And I will say this, listeners. I know that was disheartening. The US fan base is split between human beings who, are frustrated, and there's a diehard who work out how to believe, and there's a lot of, when Christian comes back, I respect both of those two approaches. And all I can say is what I'm saying to myself, just resist the urge to read too much into friendlies. But at the same time, it is so bloody frustrating to watch, because these players, there is so much potential and possibility in this US player pool. There is. We are not deluding ourselves. This squad can catalyze good football, good vibes, and national joy. They can be shaped into a truly optimal collective. And I am left with a true feeling of what might have been, which I don't like. I don't like. There's so much brilliant football as we come down to the stretch of the Premier League season. But if you're a Premier League neutral who wants a little bit of that title race excitement, check out Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can get in on the action and win up to 100 times your cash. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across our nation, including California, Texas, and Georgia. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. It's that easy. You can also mix and match players from several leagues across the globe, as well as other sports like basketball and hockey. That's right, Prize Picks. Essentially a utopia where polysport action can live and breathe. I'm talking Washington Caps, Everton, and Chicago Bulls action all at once in the face. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code MIB. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. It's Rog here to tell you about a product that I simply adore. It's been a long time staple in the Bennett refrigerator, Stoke Cold Brew Coffee. Always bold, always smooth. Yes, that is the very same Stoke as in the mighty Wrexham Fortress, known as the Stoke Kairas or the Stoke Racecourse, Wrexham AFC's home. They support it. They support football, which is just one great reason to love this coffee. It is my go-to enjoy during the football calendar, essentially the opposite of Everton. And you can check out their full lineup of 48 ounce cold brew products, something for everybody, from light to dark roast to seasonal favorites, in a refrigerated multi-serve format. I tell you this as someone whose blood type is now officially Stoke espresso blend. Have the coffee house experience in the comfort of your own home and do it now. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee, and be sure to follow Wrexham AFC. Big love to all at Stoke. Courage. But on to Tuesday's game against the national team, who oddly wear Newcastle's third kit. We're playing Saudi Arabia, Davo. And the final squad announcement is November the 9th. The release date for European players for Qatar is November the 14th. It's all going to happen very fast. And then we rumble. There will be, this is so key, there are no practice games. This is what makes this World Cup. Well, there's many things that make it different to prior World Cups. I mean, it's surreal and ridiculous and being played in under farcical conditions. But one practical thing to be clear of, there are no practice games before we kick off against Wales. This is it. This is where our boys show what they can do, not just to us, but to themselves. This is where they find their chemistry. This is where they find their system. This is where they find their belief. I'm going to leave you with the optimistic GFOP at Scott Desher, who tweeted us the headline he hopes to read come mid-December. After losing their first friendly against Japan, the US men went on to win every game en route to their first ever World Cup victory. Oh, I do love science fiction. But two big notes I do want to pick up on, Dave. Yes, you talk about experience. We know Tim Ream, the Fulham captain, will have been looking on at this game. John Brooks, two experienced centre-backs who do not fit Greg's system, apparently, but could have been brought in to bring their experience, to bring in their guile to this really green unit. But we got to talk about PFOC again. We talked about him on Monday. I went in depth on Wednesday with Hercules Gomez. We didn't muster a shot on goal here. We can barely score on the road. Greg has been, I don't know how to say it, it's like continuously evasive about the PFOC issue. A gentleman who scored 3 goals, 2 assists in the Bundesliga for top of the table Union Berlin. And Greg's last words on this issue, still evasive. He said, "I don't want to insinuate that Jordan PFOC isn't helpful to us potentially." And these are always like he's been advised by a lawyer to come up with these words. I don't want to insinuate. Does that make him helpful or not helpful with double negative?
I don't know. The double negative always confuses me. Especially when it's followed by a question mark. It's so confusing. I'm so confused. I don't follow it.
And then the very assuring, we continue to monitor players in the pool. Oh. We continue to plow towards the iceberg. These words, I don't understand them. It does feel almost a madness at this point. Unless, Davo, there's some bad blood or bad chemistry with some of the other players in the pool that we do not know about, which I wish they'd just come out and say. What do you make of it, David?
Yeah. I mean, look, there are things that are just like, you know, we say all the time in the Premier League, we don't see every training session. You don't know all of the chemistry issues that go on behind the scenes with a team that, as we've watched in multiple World Cup documentaries, that it's often the personality issues between teammates that actually destroy teams. So there may be some validity to that. But, you know, I think Greg is not particularly clear when he speaks to the press. And I don't think the press particularly press him, certainly the key members of the US press who follow that team. I don't think they always press him that hard and get him to, you know, give much, you know. So we don't know a lot about what's really going on in his head. We don't really know a lot about what's going on in his head about Ream or Brooks or PFOC or, you know, any of the players that he's leaving out.
I'll say this, if Greg succeeds at the World Cup, he will be rightfully hailed as a good manager. And if he does not, this insinuation that PFOT would or would not, I can't even work it out, would or would not be helpful. That honestly is, that's, and I'm working on a project right now about the history of the US World Cup by World Cup. And you see these managers and how comments right before the World Cup come to define them. This is really tombstone material. Second, and perhaps most importantly of all, Pulisic news this week, David. Are you ready?
Yeah, go.
In his forthcoming autobiography.
What?
The extract that was released. Christian Pulisic claims that Thomas Tuchel, do you remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that bastard, misled our Lord and Saviour about a place in the starting lineup for the 2021 Champions League semi-final second leg versus Real Madrid. And see, this extract that came out caused a huge amount of shock and drama. I think many people just like, holy crap, how can you release an autobiography at the age of 24? And Hercules Gomez made this point, and I hadn't actually even thought about it, that he would publicly crap on Tuchel. But when you write a book, I hadn't even thought about this. Herc made this point. You hand a book into your publisher months before it comes out. This book is about to come out. And so Christian Pulisic had decided to publicly crap on this manager, who still could have been his manager when this book came out, which is...
Yeah.
But for me, I am both like, how does Christian Pulisic have time to write a book? And if he had a time to write a book, which he clearly does, I would have bet huge money that he was more kind of historical romance fiction guy as his genre.
Didn't Chelsea win the 2021 Champions League, Rog?
Yes.
So Tuchel, this terrible mistake that he made with... it's kind of tough. It's kind of easy for Tuchel to respond to that. He won the bloody Champions League.
Yeah, Tuchel...
Maybe he would have won it harder. He would have won it harder with Christian.
J-Dubs and I were talking about it this week, that thank God if Tuchel is working in a book, which he may have time to do now, it'll definitely be some kind of technical electronics manual on some German washing machine from the 1970s, like a Bosch, an old Bosch. Yeah. He's very nostalgic about
that.
But God, I will say for the haters in that Chelsea fan base, and there are many, seeing Christian crap on the club while he's still at the club, after, as you say, a trophy they ended up winning. I don't know politically if this was a smart move, unless he's intentionally trying to force his way out.
Yeah, that was a long time coming, though, forcing his way out. And from every indication I've been given, he was offered opportunities to go and just didn't like the opportunities. Anyway.
How do modern footballers force themselves out of a club now, Dave? They pick up a quill and some parchment.
Yeah.
And they write themselves a book. I love that. Old school.
I must say, just my final point, Taylor Twelman's blazer had personality, Rog. Big personality. Okay,
maybe the lads, also, maybe that's it. Taylor, what's your... Taylor, who's your Taylor? Let's get 11 of them made up for the Saudis. They won't know what's hitting them. Ribs and bibs and Twelman blazers. That's what's going to win us the World Cup.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know. If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits. Business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.
Also in action this international break, the US men's national team's World Cup opponents, well, one of them, Wales, they fell to Belgium 2-1 behind goals from KDB and Bats. What's the big takeaway from a US scouting perspective here, Roger? What did you learn about Wales as you broke down the game tape?
On one hand, Wales were outclassed almost single-handedly by Kevin De Bruyne, who really, Kevin De Bruyne in second gear, They also should have been down by more than just two goals at the halftime break. But this Wales side, lacking Davis, Ramsey, Allen and Wilson, 260 caps worth of experience. Gareth Bale only saw fit to play just over the last 30 minutes. They may have been young, they may have been raw, they may have been inexperienced, but my God, they were brave enough to mount a spirited comeback, which will give them strength coming out of this one as they square up to their first World Cup in 64 years. We are 59 days away until our kickoff against the Welsh in Doha. Make no mistake, we underestimate this team at our peril. They will play the kind of collective, tenacious football that was the hallmark of the US in the peak Lallis 90s and early 2000s. We cannot look ahead of that first rumble.
Yeah, absolutely. And later today, Rog, Italy play against England in the UEFA Nations League at the San Siro, a mere 439 days after the Euros final that England lost. A big game for Gareth Southgate and co, certainly from a perception point of view.
Yeah, 14 months on from that Euro final defeat, fears now swarm that Southgate's regime has gone stale. It's going to be fascinating to see whether England can deliver a performance with some spark ahead of the World Cup after some forgettable flat football in recent windows. Much intrigue about how Gareth balances form versus loyalty. He's been through wars with some of his players. The 2018 World Cup, the Euros, feels very committed to the likes of Harry Maguire, Luke Shaw, Ben Chilwell. But he's got to work out who his starting 11 is, try and get some balanced midfield play, get the best out of Mason Mount and Phil Foden as the nation moves on from the pomp of the Queen's burial and is left to face a hard winter of fuel challenges. Really, England needs a football pickup, Davo, via Southgate's last dance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know this sounds ridiculous, but the weather in Britain is very cold right now. It's very cold and very rainy after a nice summer. And just, you're definitely right. The country needs something to lift its mood. And if there is a bad result at the San Siro today, you can just imagine that the British media are going to treat Gareth Southgate a little bit differently than the US media are going to be treating Greg Berhalter.
One note we do need to discuss. England have announced this week the action they intend to take in terms of protesting the human rights abuses rife in Qatar, the host nation of the 2022 World Cup that they are participating in. They've talked about coming up with a way to protest for months. I do, remember, now we're 8 weeks ahead of the tournament. There's been 12 years of abuses, and they kept telling the press it's taking a long time because we, quote, want it to be more than a T-shirt. And somehow, I mean, I'm laughing, but it's not funny at all. What they've actually decided to do is less than a T-shirt. They've come up with an armband, Dave, out saying one love, using some of the colours from the LGBT plus symbols, but
just some.
Yeah, just some. So they're not, they don't want to be too specific. As Qatar outlaws homosexuality, nor do they acknowledge the 6,500 workers who've died building the World Cup infrastructure with that symbol. They are planning on meeting foreign workers when they get there, which could be a very powerful moment. They included a statement filled with shoulds rather than musts. There's a lot of European countries who will join them in this token gesture. I mean, these footballers, David, they have such a bloody platform. We talk about this all the time. Frankly, they have massive leverage in this moment because Qatar cannot stop them as the spotlight falls onto the players who are taking the field. But so far, only one federation, Germany, has backed the campaign for FIFA to match the $440 million worth of World Cup prize money with compensation to the families of migrant workers who have lost their life. Do you expect more, David?
Yeah, I expect more from the players and I expect more from the media who cover the World Cup. You and I have spoken a lot about it. I mean, we're all a little bit complicit because we're all talking about the World Cup. We're all involved. We're all participating in this World Cup. And there's responsibility on everyone to keep on, shining a light on this. And even though it's going to be uncomfortable for all of us and for all the fans to be thinking about these things while you're just trying to enjoy football, you're just trying to be entertained. You're just trying to cheer for your team. But it would be shocking behavior by everyone and led by the players if there aren't more statements made that go beyond, dare I say this, I mean, this is outrageous, Rog, but statements beyond an armband that has been designed by committee and, you know,
almost not to offend
originally. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, God, we should say we are hard at work trying to finish off a six-part podcast series, which we've developed in collaboration with Crooked Media and my friend Tommy Vitor, World Corrupt, which will be coming out in October. I can't wait for you to hear it. But there is one other element to this. So far, US soccer has been silent. And there's a piece in The Athletic this week that talks about how US soccer is seeking to join the UEFA working group in supporting compensation for workers at the Qatar World Cup. The armband, I'm guessing, will be involved in that too. The Federation was criticised in this article by Human Rights Watch for their, quote, silence on the issue. The Director of Global Initiatives for Human Rights Watch, Minky Worden, said, "Where are the comments from the World Cup hosts for 2026, the United States, Mexico and Canada? The fear is that there won't be binding agreements on workers' rights for the next World Cup. This stuff is complex. Part of the deep anger I feel at FIFA for their brazen, craven decision they've made is that it really dumps the players into an awful position that they should not be put in. But the Federation can step up and speak for them. And the clock is ticking."
Absolutely. Okay, Rog, before we go, a quick reminder about everything that we've got coming up this week at Men in Blazers World Headquarters. You've got a newsletter coming out imminently about today's game. Go subscribe at meninblazers.com, GFOPs. And next week, we'll pod in the wake of the Saudi Arabia match, so look for that. You're also dropping a very special episode of the women's game presented by Paramount Plus with none other than Trinity Rodman. Can't wait for that one. But until we meet again, can we get a final toast to bring us home, Rochelle Leo?
Yeah, talking about the women's game, I do need to say how bloody excited I am and huge love to all at Arsenal. Their game tomorrow, 51,000 at least expected to be in attendance at the Emirates for the North London Derby against Tottenham in the Women's Super League, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Paramount Plus. Cannot wait for that one. The extraordinary is becoming normal in women's football, and long may that reign. But I want to raise a third first bud of the day to Everton Football Club for really all I can describe as their next level trolling of, well, me really. Yesterday they announced, quote, "our first official hair transplant partner," which is the Vera Clinic. And I just, I've got to send you the video, which has only been sent to me by 10,000 plus Liverpool fans who sent it to me with just a wicked laugh about just how much my club is testing me on and off the field. Honestly, when I land at Chicago, another thing I love Chicago like I love Everton. And when you land at O'Hare, anyone that does knows the first thing you see as you leave the airport is just a run of huge billboards of Brian Urlacher pimping for some hair transplant company there. And I always like feel sick in my mouth when I see it. When I saw that Everton Vera Clinic, why am I even giving them a repeat of a name check? All I can say is Tim Howard, Sylvain Distan, Thomas Graverson, Lee Carsley will all be rolling over in their graves. It's a sad day for a club who've forgotten their history, Davo. Shame on you. Hair denial.
Are we going to be doing an ad read for the Vera Clinic right after this that will drop into the pod?
Do I not look a bit different to you today?
You're looking good. You're looking good.
I've got more. The Vera Clinic, by the way, I'm not paid by them, but I do want to say they're made to give the bald man personality.
Personality. I love it. It wasn't quite up there with I like this game. I love that one. I like this game. But personality, that was so good. My God, Taylor got very excited about that post-match analysis. He's a big personality guy. Okay, you can follow us on Twitter at Men in Blazers, at Embassy Davies, at Rog Bennett, on Instagram at Men in Blazers, at Embassy Davies, on Facebook with the Men in Blazers, Twitch, twitch.tv/Men in Blazers. We're on YouTube. You can see a video version of our podcast and really check Rog's hair transplant.
I'm not paid by the Vera Clinic, but I might be.
Cool, 1-800, brother. So 1-800
personality.
We're on TikTok at Men in Blazers. You can always email us at meninblazers@gmail.com. Vendor.Rog.
War pig.
Was that a Rabona?
I like snacks.
Balls win, balls win.
Take that, Gloria.
Balls lose.
To Tweed.
Abrigado, rock on, mate.
Kung Fu Fight in America. Love you, Davo.
Love you, Rog.
Personality. Okay. Hey, Prime members. You can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Okay, so if you had a time machine, how far in time would you need to go back to be a dominant basketball player of that era?
I need to go to when Bob Cousy was playing.
Back in the plumber days?
27-year-old Shea would give Bob Cousy the f***ing business. He's not guarding me.
Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano, and we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shay and I are combing through all of the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling ones, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Six Trophies ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus